The Bible reading today can be found in your pamphlet, and it's Psalm 23, Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here, not hidden behind the piano, but instead able to come and share with you God's word. It's wonderful to have our passage today, Psalm 23, read to us by Jenny. And we're coming back to it quite a bit throughout the service. So you can find it, as Jenny said, in your leaflet alongside an outline for the sermon if you'd like to take notes. Let's open this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we meet to open your word, may it speak to our hearts and into our lives. We pray that in reflection of your love, we would be able to rejoice in this psalm of your servant David. By looking at his relationship with you, may we in turn examine our relationship with you. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Well, have you ever tried to explain God to someone? Maybe a friend, maybe it's a child of yours. Let's say you're catching up for coffee with a friend and they ask you, hey, can you explain to me who God is? How would you go about it? Maybe you'd try to describe God by listing things about him. He's from before time. He's all loving. He's all powerful. He's everywhere and he knows everything. It's a bit like Santa. He knows if you're naughty or if you're nice. Maybe you'd try to explain who God is by telling about some of the things he's done. How he spoke the earth and all that we know into creation. How he rescued the Israelites from under Pharaoh by wondrous signs and miracles. And how he led them, appearing as a light, a fire, or a cloud. Or maybe, like David is today, you would try to explain who God is by your relationship with him. Because in Psalm 23, David's not describing God like an academic, as someone looking at God from afar and observing. No, he's writing about his own experience, about someone who's in close relationship with God. So how does David describe God? Well, let's read from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a bit of an interesting way to describe God, don't you think? I mean, people in that time probably had a good understanding of a shepherd, but maybe not so much today. Who here has met a shepherd? That's not many hands. Who here knows what a shepherd is at least? That's much better. Love to see that. Well, the writer of Psalm 23, David, well, he was the king of Israel. But before that, he served under the previous king as a servant. And before that, he himself was a shepherd. We read about this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. But David went back and forth from Saul, the king, to tend to his father's sheep in Bethlehem. It's a bit of an odd place for a king to come from, Bethlehem, but perhaps that'll be important later. We might find it a bit odd to try to describe the creator of the universe as someone who spends all their days with sheep. But I think for David, this was really personal. This was a close example for him, and he's got first-hand experience. David knew what the responsibilities of the shepherds were. They would watch over their sheep. They were to take care of the flock. They would fight off any predators who threatened the sheep, and they would be constantly amongst the sheep so that sheep would know them and they would know the sheep. If you want to know how sheep smell, well, if you smell a shepherd, you'd find out. Now, David could just easily have started off with, "The Lord is my king, I shall not want." Because it's true. God is king. He's worthy of being called king. David also has first-hand experience of being king and being a servant to a king. But when David goes to describe his relationship with God, he chooses a shepherd. A king watches over their kingdom, takes care of their subjects, fights wars against threats to the kingdom, but there's an element that's missing. And that is the close relationship with his people. A shepherd walks with the sheep, the king sits above them. David knew what it was like to be king. He was king of Israel. And I think sometimes we can approach our relationship with God a bit too much like the servant-king relationship rather than the sheep and the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul and guides me along the right paths for his namesake. What a beautiful way to describe your relationship with God. Not as some distant figure, but as someone close. Someone that makes us rest when we need to, bringing us where we should be, and refreshing our soul. Can you remember the last time your soul really felt refreshed? I mean, I feel refreshed coming out of the ocean on a hot summer's day, but that's not soul-level refreshing. No, all the times I've actually really felt my soul being refreshed, well, it's only been from God. It's only from God and with God that's all I need. One time I felt my soul really refreshed was on an ES camp. Now, dawn had just broken and it was frigid cold out at Normanville. We were up in the morning praying and reflecting on the word. I was cold. I was sleep deprived. It's a university camp, that's sort of given. And I was hungry because breakfast had not yet come yet. But at that time, spending it with God, I felt him refresh my soul. I felt that I lacked nothing in that moment because it was just the two of us. Maybe you've not felt your soul refreshed in a while. Maybe it's something that happens regularly. More often than not, it doesn't just happen by accident. David describes God have making him lie down in green pastures and leading him beside quiet waters. In your life, do you spend the time to be quiet, to let God refresh your soul? Or do you just as easily get caught up in the rat race that you don't have time to lie down? No. As a sheep, there's nothing we need to worry about. We don't need to be worrying whether the pastures on the next hill are more green than ours. As a sheep, we just need to do one thing, and that's follow the shepherd. Rest when he asks us to rest. Lie down beside green pastures. And we trust that God as our shepherd has our best interest at heart. Coming into church this morning, we could see the lush green fairway of the golf course and the soccer pitch, and we could drive and see the rolling hills of Adelaide. And I think it's fair to say that physically speaking, God's got us in some pretty green pastures. I mean, we live in an absolutely beautiful part of the world with a wonderful community of people around us. We have food on our tables and war far from our streets. I mean, if we watch the news any time in the past 2 years, we've seen what it looks like to be a city under siege, to have enemies around us. We know what poverty looks like, what it looks like to really have needs met. Praise the Lord, because we're blessed far more than we deserve. And it's true, we are blessed with so much more than just physical benefits. I mean, some of you might be nodding in agreement. But why is it then, if we're living in such green pastures, does it seem like we have so many troubles in our lives? I mean, sometimes I feel like my fields are not green, but are in drought. I don't feel like I'm in or sitting beside still waters. I feel like I'm a small boat being tossed on the stormy ocean. Do you ever feel like that? Well, that's the reality of our world, sadly. I mean, suffering is so universal, it's basically part of being human. There are all kinds of darknesses that we face, times when we feel exhausted, depressed, powerless. Maybe it's in the face of rising prices everywhere we look. Maybe it's the property crisis, or the economic crisis, or the energy crisis, or the food insecurity crisis, or the climate crisis. We're having a crisis of crises. And these are all big issues, far beyond our individual control. But they can still have such a devastating impact on how we see the world and how we live our lives. Maybe the darkness that you're facing is not about the world around you, but it's something much closer to home. Maybe it's a bully in the schoolyard, or a rude or belittling colleague at work. Maybe it's something wrong at home, or something with your health. Because we all have those areas of our lives where we feel like we're standing in the darkest of valleys, where the shadow of death seems to be looming over us. But no matter what it is for you, it's better to face it with someone than without. Back to Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, your translation might say the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about that. What sort of person walks alongside you in your darkest time? Not standing on the sidelines, not calling out advice, not sending you a link to some Facebook guru, but walking alongside you, providing comfort, going through that darkness step by step with you. Someone who does that, that's not a distant deity. That's not a lofty king. In Australia, we'd call someone like that a true friend, a good mate, a good father, a good shepherd. Because the person that does that, that's our God. Let me read to you a blessing from Moses to Joshua. This is before the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River. Moses was going to be left behind, and he says this to Joshua to echo the promises that God made to him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise! They're about to cross into an unknown land. The harsh desert they have spent 40 years crossing is behind them, and now they're surrounded on all sides by enemies. But what does Moses say? Have no fear. Be strong and courageous. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's a bit of a pointed question. That was the God of Moses and the God of Joshua. That was the same God of David. But is that the way you think of God today? Is that the God you're putting your faith in? If it is, I can tell you what, no matter what we have to face, no matter what sufferings are before us, he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his promise. But Isaac, if God is with me, then why do I have to go through such times? Why do I have to suffer? That's a tough question. But it's one worth asking. It's totally reasonable. I'm going to give you half an answer today, and maybe you won't find that satisfying enough, but at least it should point you in the right direction. See, there wasn't always suffering. The world God created was perfect. It was without it. But it was because of our disobedience that sin entered the world. And now we're living in the consequences of that. God is just. You cannot have disobedience without punishment. But God is also love, and he's also gracious. He could have wiped the slate clean, or even worse, left us to just try to deal with a problem we never had a chance of fixing. But instead, he decided to intervene, to step in as the shepherd for the lost sheep, and to show us what was right. When David said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What came before that? Well, what came before that was verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Where are the sheep in this relationship? And it's because God was David's shepherd that he lacked nothing. Now, David lacking nothing? We've got half the Psalms that are of lament and David crying out. There's needs all around him. How can he be lacking nothing? Well, maybe we need to take a step back. Maybe we need to have a bit of a broader view. Because why do we read of David crying out to God? Well, it's because there was need. But who was it that answered that prayer and that filled that need? Well, it was God who provided. Why do we cry out to God in prayer? Well, it's because we see a need and we are putting our faith that God will provide. Now, we know that he doesn't answer everything. We know that we won't get everything that we want for. Same as a child at Christmas. I once asked for a Game Boy. I never got that. I had to wait till I was earning enough money to buy it myself. But God is very generous, and he knows what's best for us. Sometimes God will provide for us in miraculous ways. And sometimes that miraculous way is through the faith of amazing people. See, that's one of the great things about being together as a flock of God, being part of a church family like we are here at Trinity, is that sometimes God blesses one person, that they in turn might bless someone else. We see this all the time in the early church. People giving freely to support others or giving abundantly to see new churches planted. That is the same spirit that we have now, faith-inspired giving. Giving both financially, but also of our time. I know some amazing people who have suffered incredible things early in life. They have suffered abuse, scorn, rejection, and neglect. But now, through meeting God and being in his flock, they've had their lives changed forever. Many of them now minister to people who are going through the exact same pain and suffering they did as a child. They have been transformed with so much strength and God's spirit with them. They are being able to walk with others through their suffering, being God to them. Perhaps God has you here today for that reason. Maybe it's to challenge you in the way that you're spending your time or your money. Or maybe it's to challenge your pride so that you can ask God for help, to bring your needs to him so that he could meet them in a miraculous way. And if you have a need, I'd really encourage you to let one of the pastoral staff here know. We'd love to be able to partner with you and by the grace of God and as we're enabled, to be able to help you meet your needs. Verse 3, he guides us along right paths for his name's sake. Not the easy paths, but the right paths. Why do we face suffering? Well, we face suffering with faith. The faith that God knows what is right for us. It might not be what we want. It might not be what we ask for. But it's what we need. If my doctor says to me, Isaac, I need you to make a lifestyle change, or Isaac, I need you to come in for surgery, I'm putting my trust that they know what's best for me. It may mean that I need to change the way I'm living right now. It may mean I need to give up something that I loved previously. It may mean that the change is so drastic it requires weeks or months of recovery. But that's what I need to do to live my life to the fullest. If my teachers or parents say to me, Isaac, we need you to spend less time in front of screens and more time doing your homework, I might feel like I am in the deepest valley with a shadow of death looming over me for giving up my TV time, but that's what I need if I am going to live up to my fullest life. See, the Bible never promises that having a life of a Christian will be free of suffering. It kind of promises the exact opposite, that actually we're more likely to suffer because we have faith. But it also promises that our suffering won't be in vain and it won't be endured alone. We have no need to fear because we know that God is with us in our time of suffering. And we know that the way he's leading us along is right, even if we don't know why. And we know that whatever we need, he will provide. David goes to describe just how little we need to fear when we walk with the Lord. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's like a really odd place for a picnic. Like next week, we're going to have a wonderful lunch here in a nice safe hall in the presence of our friends. Why would we as sheep be wanting to dine in the presence of wolves? Well, it's a good encouragement for us actually, that God's protection is so great, we can be surrounded by enemies and yet dine in peace, protected by the shepherd. Because in life, we are surrounded by enemies of all kinds, but that does not diminish the faithfulness of God. If anything, it actually really just goes to demonstrate to us more his power and his love. We have nothing to fear of evil when we walk with the Lord. I love the way that David concludes the psalm and wraps it up. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Earlier we were talking about God meeting our physical needs, but there's actually something that we need more, something that cuts a lot deeper, and that's the need for love, the need for security, and the need for salvation. See, deep down, we all want to be loved. It drives so many of the decisions we make every day, whether it be the love of our parents, the love of our boss, the love of our friends, or even just the love of a random person we meet on the street. We all love to be loved. And deep down, we also all want to feel secure. A lot of the time, we look for that security in our love. Now, David knows God's love. He's witnessed his faithfulness. And he knows that if he is faithful to God, who is faithful, then the goodness and the love of the Lord will be with him for all the days of his life. How securing is that? That no matter what life feels like now, God's love remains as strong and as faithful as it ever was. A secure love on offer that can never be stolen nor taken away. A love that will remain faithful and good to us all the days of our life. Now, when David's explaining his relationship with God, he describes God as a shepherd. Now, he didn't know it at the time, but there was another shepherd coming. One day, a descendant of his would be born in that very same town of Bethlehem. And that man would be God in human form. That would be Jesus. Let me read to you from the account of Jesus' life. John 10, these are the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. God on earth in human form. Jesus, the good shepherd, the one we sing about, the one we reflect when taking communion. Jesus lived a life on earth just like us, suffered more than we ever will, and gave up freely of his own life so that we would have the opportunity to live. When we cry out to God in our darkest valleys, in our suffering, he knows our suffering. He suffered too. He chose to come down from the glory of heaven to walk along this earth. He came for the sick and for the suffering. You know, sometimes we stray from the pen. We wander out into the wilderness. When you feel far from the shepherd, just listen for his voice. Know that he's calling you back, one shepherd and one flock. Because he's a shepherd that would lay his life down for his sheep. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Iniquity just being immoral behavior, our sin and mess. Because Jesus took all of that, all of our sin, all of our mess, and he laid it on himself. He suffered and died not because he was guilty, but because we were. We needed saving, and he was the shepherd that laid his life down. How would you describe God now? If someone asked you that question at the start, how would you describe God? Would you describe him as your shepherd? Are you looking to him, your shepherd, for direction? Are you looking to him like a sheep does to a shepherd for security? Are you looking to him like a sheep does for their identity in their shepherd? Are you looking to him for his love? Because if Christ is your shepherd, well, today you're in the right place. This is the place where you want to be, amongst God's flock. But if you feel a bit more like a sheep without a shepherd, someone that's wandered from the pen and feels in the wilderness, you're also in the right place. Remembering Jesus' words in John's, I have other sheep that are not of this pen, but I must bring them also. Listen to his voice and be welcomed into the flock. Because if you want to meet the good shepherd and hear how we describe our God, then don't leave today without asking. Ask Des, ask myself, anyone on this stage, ask the person that invited you. Because we'd love to have that conversation and for you to meet our shepherd, the shepherd who loves you. Loving Heavenly Father, we've all come this morning as sheep looking for a shepherd. Lord, our hearts break to see such suffering all around us, suffering and darkness in our own lives. Lord, we come to you as helpless sheep, to be our shepherd, be our peace in times of trouble, be our light in times of darkness, be our hope in what feels like a world without hope. May we be reminded of how much we depend on you and how much we can always look to you as our shepherd. Reveal your goodness and love to us, Lord, and may we be your love to those around us. May we come humbly to you for our needs, and our times are plenty, may we bless those who have a need. May our faith be strong, Lord, knowing that all we need is you. You are our love, our protection, and our comfort. That we can endure any suffering with you, our shepherd, by our side. And all God's children said, Amen.